So we've come that we might postpone this program. Hold on. Amen. We're going to get this straight in just a second here. Technical difficulties. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Go ahead and bring it offline. And as we turn there today, what I want you to do, what I'm asking that all of us would do, is to travel back in time to the reports that were given about the resurrection. This is really not going to make an impact on you or me unless we can relate to it. Here we are 2,000 years later, and some people are still struggling with the fact, did Jesus rise from the dead? Was it somebody else? Or did he in fact go into a tomb and all of a sudden he regained consciousness and came back to life? What happened to the body of Jesus? And we're going to review today four different reports of this resurrection. And I want you to come to a conclusion. Did he rise? And what difference does it make in my life? Matthew 28. And we're going to go ahead and read verses 18 through 20. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. And we want to preach on the message, the good report, or the right report. The right report. You may be seated as we pray. Father, bless us now. Bless our time together as we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, that we might indeed find the right report. And Lord, that we would grow closer to you and in our fellowship with one another. We humbly ask this in the name of Christ Jesus, our risen Lord, that we celebrate today. Amen and amen. What's the impact of a report? What do you gain from it? A lot of people have been mesmerized by the Mueller report and what it has to do and what it has to say. But I can guarantee you that if you were able to get a hold of the Mueller report, I doubt if it would make a lot of difference in your eternal salvation. Some say, well, if I can get an insider investor report and go to Wall Street and make an investment, I'd be able to be a millionaire. And I guarantee you, if that did happen, it would only impact your life for a matter of time. What we're talking about is the right report that impacts your eternal destiny. What report do you believe? How do you go about making sure that it's the right one? That it's the one that God has spoken to you and to me. I want you to hear me today. A good report has these things that it would qualify it as being sufficient. One, proof that something happened. How many of you agree with that? All in favor say aye. So it has to prove that something happened. An event took place or a person did something. That's a good report. Investigators will go out and they'll get pieces of information. As a matter of fact, one of the Gospels, Luke's Gospel, was a compilation of facts, things that were gathered and information that was compiled and put together, and Luke organized it and sent it to someone by the name of Theophilus. That the end of that report would lead to a conclusion that someone might believe. It has to be an understandable message. You know, a lot of scientific researchers, they'll write these amazing reports. Things that happen and all of the wonderful things that have happened, and you pick it up and you read it and you can't pronounce the first word. A good report is something that not only reports the facts, but it also has a message that you can comprehend. Third thing about a report, it has to lead to a solid conclusion, the basis of which you can say, yes, this is true. And it's not only true, but it's true for me. I want to apply this. If it doesn't have these things in it, it really can't be a good report. It might sound good. It might be impressive. It may have been reported by people who allege to be credible, but it's not a good report if it's not something that is proof that happened, that it also has a message that is understandable and that it has something that leads you to a conclusion. So I want to appoint each one of you today as investigators. So raise your right hand. I swear to report everything that I hear, that I see, and that I believe. Now, let me tell you what happened. Now, you can put your hand down. Let me tell you, unless you want to praise the Lord, then you can do that. Leave them up. Let me tell you, I was thinking about going outside today, and we would have service outside, but it was too cold, okay? So you're in here. And but I wanted to take you on a journey through the graveyard. And I wanted to say to you that unless you have the right report, this graveyard is it. That's it. That's as far as you go. They put you in the ground. They put dirt on top of you. By the way, my wife says she wants to be buried in a mausoleum. And I'm going to say she'll never know the difference, right? Don't tell her I said it. So how do you get at a report that really means something? Well, let's look at the question, did Jesus really die? Now, if he didn't really die, then there's no good reason that we should look for a resurrection if he didn't die. So we gotta reach the point or conclude to the fact that he died. And that there is a resurrection. And I want to share this with you, that before Jesus died, it had been prophesied that he would die. If you go back and you read Psalm 22, that psalm could be about no one else but Jesus. Because it lists everything that would happen to him to the T. Now here's the point. That psalm was written over 900 years before Jesus even came to earth. 900 years. Psalm 31 picks it up and it tells about the thing that he would suffer and that he would suffer for his nation. And then Isaiah 53 asks the question, who will believe this report 800 years before the time? That he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Did Jesus really die? Some people say, well, he didn't die, you know. They crucified him, but he got in the tomb, and the tomb was cold, and he woke back up. Number one, you had Romans who were executioners. And they made sure that you were dead. They made sure of that fact. And that Roman soldier, according to John chapter 19, that Roman soldier, when he came and the other two soldiers, they wanted to make sure that they were dead, so they broke their legs. Now, when they broke their legs, that simply means that they couldn't push themselves up to get a next breath, and they would suffocate. But when they saw that Jesus was already dead, they pierced his side and out came water and blood. What did that mean? Well, he pierced the side that his heart, where it could puncture his heart. And I'm going to tell you, that wasn't just a little bit. It was a long blade that had punctured his heart. Out came water and blood that showed and demonstrated that he had died. Now, I'm not a doctor. We got a doctor in the audience. But I can tell you that when you puncture your heart, even if you do get in the tomb, you ain't coming back to life because your heart can't beat because it's been punctured. The Roman soldiers made sure that Jesus was dead. Joseph of Arimathea, remember him? He's the guy that came and he said, I want the body of Jesus. So he asked for the body of Jesus. They gave it to him and he embalmed it. If Jesus was still alive, he would have said, wait a minute. He's still alive and we can't bury him. But Joseph wrapped him in linen, placed him in his own tomb, and then put a seal, the Romans put a seal on the tomb to make sure that that body stayed there. Now, I've already told you that the prophecy of Scripture had said he's going to die. He's going to die for the sins of the entire world. Prophecy after prophecy. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was resurrected, he spoke to his disciples, and you know what he did? He gave them the Scripture to prove that he died and that he rose again. So we can all conclude, right? You're an investigator. Write this down in your notes. He died. He was buried. He died and he was buried. And now we've got to consider this fact of the resurrection. Listen to what Paul says. Some people a little time later, they said, well, there was no resurrection. That's not important. Let's just teach on what Jesus did and all of his parables, and that's enough. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. I'll summarize it. He said, if there's no resurrection, then Christ didn't rise. And if Christ didn't rise, your preaching is empty. And your believing, your faith is also empty. If Christ didn't rise, we're coming to church for no reason. We're just going through some exercise of saying we believe something that didn't really happen. Ladies and gentlemen, the most important event that could ever happen in time is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because if it weren't for the resurrection, you and I would have no future. You and I would still, as Paul says, be dead in our sins. But then he concludes in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits. Which Paul said something here. Watch this. Write this down in your notes. Not only did Jesus rise, but he became the resurrector. You like that? What does that mean, preacher? That means when you go to that place back out in back of the church, or if you bought you a mausoleum, that means that if you're in your mausoleum, you're going to come out of that thing if you believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. You're going to be risen from the dead because Jesus is not only the resurrection, he's the raiser up of our lives. All right, hold on a second. I got a few more minutes here now. So let's look at this thing. Y'all stay with me? We're going to investigate. Touch your neighbor and say, we're going to don't touch your neighbor. Yeah, you already did. Okay. Jesus himself said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, although he were dead, yet shall he live. He said that at the tomb of Lazarus. And then to prove that he had the power to raise to life, he called his friend Lazarus from the grave. Said, Lazarus, come forth. And I'm telling you, you got to have some power to do that, right? Amen. All right, so let's look at Matthew 28, and let's look at all of these reports. And got all different reports today, people saying, well, did he rise, did he not? Well, let's look at the first one. First one, the angelic report. This mighty angel was dispatched from heaven. And the Bible said he came down to that tomb, that carved out place inside of a hill, and he came down to it and he rolled away the stone and sat on it. About that time, two women were there, but also remember the soldiers? Amen. They were there. So these guys, they're standing around, and all of a sudden they see this angel, and now they're floored. It overwhelmed them. Wow. And then the angel spoke to Mary and the other Mary, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, said, go tell my disciples that they can meet me in Galilee. Tell them I've risen. Tell them that the Savior is risen. And while they were on their way, they met Jesus himself. We'll get to that in just a second. So you got the angel. You got the angel, right? Why didn't God just use angels? Why didn't he just use angels to tell us that the Savior is risen? Was it correct? Absolutely. It was a fact. The angel that rolled away the stone. You know why God didn't use angels? And this is just me. It's not written in the script, but this is just me. Some of us would be going around looking for angels. Remember that show, Touched by an Angel? You'd be looking for an angel. Wait, where's the angel at? Matter of fact, we got angels all around here. And there are angels. Oh, yeah. But God didn't want you to have a faith based on angels. Right. He wanted you to have a faith based on him. Wasn't about the angel. I could see us now in church talking about, oh, did you see that angel? But did you not know that as mighty as angels are, they can't save your soul? As mighty as they are, they cannot redeem you. And remember, we're talking about not only the resurrection, but we're talking about being raised to life. Angels can't do that. God won't give them the power to do that. They can move in mighty ways, and Michael is a mighty warrior angel, and Gabriel is a mighty messenger angel, but they cannot save your soul. Amen. That's why, if you're writing in your notes, the angelic report will never lead to your salvation. It will never lead to it. So we got to move on. Everybody said move on. Okay. Second report, report of the women. Now, we're getting somewhere, right? We've got eyewitnesses. We've got people that said, we saw it. Not only did they see the angel as they were on their way, guess who they met? Jesus. Man, is that good? They met Jesus. I remember we had this play one time, and Miss Cabler did Mary. And I'm telling you, nobody could do Mary like Miss Cabler. She was saying, Rabboni, Savior. And she testified to the goodness of God. So the women ran back. I mean, they ran and they told the disciples, guess what? He's risen. And you know what the disciples said? Ah, what are you talking about? He's not risen. Yes, he did. No, he didn't. Men are stubborn, you know that? If y'all are sitting beside your husband, don't do this. They know they're stubborn. You know why? Because they want to see for themselves. For whatever reason, they turned a good testimony into something that they flat out rejected. So now, women gave a good report. But here's the reason why you just can't go on secondhand evidence. You got to see it for yourself. Everybody say, let's move on. All right, so we come to the third report, which is the high priest report. The soldiers were standing around, right? And they're guarding the tomb. They're walking with their weapons, and they're making sure that nobody gets there to steal the body, because that was the reason why the high priest wanted them there. They said that deceiver, that imposter, said that after 3 days he would rise again. So we want you to appoint a guard. So they got the governor to appoint a guard, and here they are, they're guarding the tomb, and all of a sudden this angel comes. And their spears don't work against him. Their shields don't work against him. And the angel came, and the Bible says they became as dead men. And for fear of him, these big, big old burly guys, for fear of him, they began to quake. And after they got up, after they recovered from that, they ran back to the priest and said, guess what we saw? This angel came down, and they didn't see the resurrection, they saw the angel. And he rolled away the stone. You know what the priest did? They didn't say, praise God, we were wrong, he was right. You know what the priest did? They said, here's some money. Take this money and tell a different story. You know what? People are still being bought off today. Because every time they would dare believe the gospel, somebody would say, here, take a little money. Right. Oh, if you trust in Jesus, you won't be able to make money. All right. Money ain't everything. Amen. And I guarantee you, I walk through the cemetery. I do that quite often because, you know, I'm trying to pick out where's the best place I want to. Might as well do it, right? It's going to happen. Okay. So I'm walking through and I'm counting the people that I've officiated over their service. Try to do the eulogy and try to say a few words. It's 100 people out back that I've officiated over those services. And of all those 100 people, not one of them came back to life yet. All right? Now, where was I going with this point? I don't know. I'm just rambling. But the point is, no matter how much you try to gain in this world, you're going to leave it all here. I've never seen a vault be buried with the casket. I've never seen a Brinks truck following the hearse. Every person, and I was told this by some of the undertakers, that your pocketbooks are empty. And the pocket, you men, you've got pockets, you know, you've got things that you can put money in. Guess what? Those pockets are sewed up. Because you know what? You can't take it with you. Here's the point. The high priests were able to buy off those guards, but they couldn't buy off true believers. Because a true believer will not be satisfied with just these things of this world. And perhaps you're at a point today, and I want to make this point. The things of this world, they may be able to sustain you, but they can never bring you true joy. They can never bring you true happiness. The only way that you can have joy and have happiness is to come to a faith in Jesus Christ. Believe that he is your Savior and accept him, and then you'll have the peace of God. You will have the peace of God. Matthew records, and I'm going to move on, that this report that someone came and stole his body while they were asleep is still circulated. It's still a circulation. Now, if you've read anything about Roman soldiers, you don't sleep on duty. Because if you do, you die. So the Roman soldier, if he was really a soldier, he would not be asleep on duty. When I was in the military, you could be court-martialed for sleeping on duty. So there were consequences to this. And there were consequences to the high priest making up this report because they had rejected the Messiah. If anyone should have gotten it, it should have been them. All they had to do was read Zechariah chapter 12. All they had to do was read Psalm 22. And they would have seen, wait a minute, we were there. We know that this had to be the man. But they blocked it out of their mind and they said, we will not believe. Is that going to be you today? While you're gathering this information, this data, is that going to be you? Or will you come to the conclusion that yes, this is the Christ? Oh, by the way, I got one more report. I told you four, right? Angel report, we got the report of the women, we got the report of the high priest, but now we come to the report, and this is by Jesus himself. Why do you need a report from Christ himself? He doesn't want you going on secondhand evidence, although the women gave a good report, an accurate report, a powerful report. Jesus knew that you'd need something to rest your faith on. So the Bible said that after many days, he himself, or that same day, he appeared to them. And Mark and the other gospel said he reproved them because of their unbelief. Man, why didn't you believe me? Why didn't you believe the women? Why didn't you believe these reports? But now here is Jesus himself. And the first thing he says, all power is given unto me. The high priest didn't want me to have it. The devil didn't want me to have it. But guess what? I got it. And because I got it, I'm giving it to you. Here's the report of Jesus. The report of Jesus says, I don't want you standing around and looking at each other. What I want you to do is to go into all the nations and teach them what you know. Teach them about me. Tell them about my commands. And tell them how they can be saved. How that they can know the Lord. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And watch this, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. I got three more minutes, and with that, I want to close with this. Here's our Lord's report. Not Mueller's report, not Wall Street report, not your investment report. Here is our Lord's report. And I'm telling you, if you get this, man, it's going to change your life. Here it is. First of all, it is an unchangeable truth. All power is given unto him. You got people, you got dictators in this world who are saying, we run the show. They don't have any power. They have got perceived power. But here's the power that Jesus said has been given unto me. Why? Because he rose from the grave. If you can conquer death, I'm telling you, you're a bad dude. I'm sorry, Lord, I didn't mean to put it that way, but that's pretty good. If you can rise from the dead, which means that is the thing that haunts people. They don't want to die. And Hebrews picks it up. It says that all of our lifetime, we spend our days in fear of death. And you can't live by fear. You got to live by faith. It is an unchangeable truth that Jesus has all power. And you know what he did to prove that he all had all power? He would appear when he wanted to, and then disappear when he wanted to, and then reappear when he wanted to. As a matter of fact, some days later, he appeared again because Thomas wasn't with them. He didn't hear it. Oh, except I see the print of the nails in hand. Put my hand in his side, then I believe. And guess what? Jesus showed up. Every door was locked, but he showed up again. He appeared again. Say, he appeared again. And you know what? Through time, Jesus Christ continues to appear. He appeared to you when you didn't believe. He convicted you and convinced you that you needed a Savior. That risen Lord appeared to you. And that's how you got changed. That's why Jesus said, I want you to have this report. This report. Secondly, it is an unwavering obedience rather that we have. He said, now listen, I'm giving you things that I command you. People say, why we need to preach the gospel? That's what Jesus told you to do. What else are you going to do? It is an unwavering obedience. Let me tell you something. You want to find out what life is? Obey the Lord. If you want to find out what being miserable is all about, try disobeying him. See how long that works. See how you do with that. Go on with your bad self. Let's see how it works. But when you obey him, then the joy comes. Will you have problems? Yes, you'll have problems. But guess what? You're going to have problems anyway. An unwavering obedience. Jesus said, I want you to do this. I want you to baptize them. And while we speak of this in water baptism, I want to also refer to this into a phrase I use called the immersion. You immerse them not only into water, but into the truth of God. Let me just summarize it in one thing. You can't find nobody that can do you like Jesus. If you get immersed in that, if you just allow your mind to get wrapped up, tied up into that, you will find that you have the treasure of life because you've got the Lord himself to be immersed in the truth, but then to obey him. Why are you doing what you're doing? Because that's what Jesus said. I want to honor him. I want to live for him. So it's an unchangeable truth, unwavering obedience. But then here's the reason why you know that this is the right report. Jesus does not say, I'll see you later. Just say that. He doesn't say, you're on your own. He doesn't say, I've given you what's best. He doesn't leave it with that. He knows that as sheep, we wander. We get off track. Matter of fact, a lot of us get off track daily, right? start off trying to do one thing and then you find yourself doing something else. We get off track. We get lost. You know what he said? This amazing Savior. You know what he said? He said, I'm not going to leave you all by yourself. Lo, I am with you always. Unlimited presence. I love the story of Sam I Am and Green Eggs and Ham. Because all of the story that Dr. Seuss would write about in that, where he's trying to convince Sam I Am that this is good stuff. And here we are, we're running behind people telling them Jesus is good. Oh no, he's not for me, he's not for me. All of a sudden, by the end of the story, Sam I Am gets it. And Sam I Am says, I will eat it in a boat. I will eat it wherever I go, because he's convinced that green eggs and ham, what's happening? Some of y'all gonna have some ham today. But anyway, he's convinced that it's real. Ladies and gentlemen, by the end of this report, you should be convinced that Jesus is real. If you have not tried him, then try him today, because his presence is real. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. The year is now 2019, April the 21st, at about 9:45 in the morning, and we're still talking about what happened over 2,000 years ago. You say, is it real? Yes, it's real. Because not only has Christ risen from the dead, he's risen in the hearts of people that believe. You were in a tomb. You were in a grave. You were in misery. But Jesus of Nazareth, the risen Lord, came by and touched your life, brought you back to life. And now you live because he lives. Praise God. Praise God. He lives. He lives. He lives. Father, I don't know what to say except we believe. We're convinced that you are who you said you are. You're our eternal God. You're our Prince of Peace. You're our Lily of the Valley. You're our bright and morning star. As a matter of fact, you're everything to us. So we thank you. Thank you for this report that you gave yourself. And now we believe it. And because we believe, we can face tomorrow. Because we believe, all fear is gone. We know who holds the future. Life is worth the living because you live. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you've never embraced the gospel. And while I've been ranting and raving and jumping and talking, something's probably been going on in your mind and you've said, well, preacher, I'm listening to what you say. I want to believe, but I don't know how. That's the good news. The presence of Christ, it will come to you when you can't get to God. He will tell you, this is what I want you to do. Here's where I want you to go. And this is your plan that I've made for you. If you're willing to accept that, I guarantee you this Lord of glory will come into your life and he'll bring you such peace that you've never had before, because he is the Savior. If there was only one person on earth when Jesus came, he would have died for them, because he came to save all the world. So while the invitation is given, I'm going to ask that we all stand. If you've never made that decision, you say, well, preacher, you know, we make it all complicated. You got to come down front. No, you really got to do something in your heart. In your heart. And all you got to say is, Lord, I believe. Help me to trust you. And he'll do it. Invitation is given.